and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville Sports Radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio Live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Jake Miller alongside Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack, as we have a slate that we have to get into today. Pretty nice tidbit of information that we got yesterday and the day before about Jonas Adu entering the transfer portal. That materialized yesterday, and it really comes as no surprise to a lot of people. Those of you that have talked to us, those of you that know exactly what the situation was, you see exactly what's happening, and it's like, okay, yeah, this is what's going on here. Jack, go ahead and just flip to the preview on this one. The camera shot's all messed up. But one of the things in which we talked about was, you know, Jonas Adu had potentially went to Rick Barnes last year and threatened to enter the transfer portal and try to get more money. And it might have been the case again this year. And this time he actually enters the portal, he declares the NBA draft, and one of the things you have to ask yourself as a Tennessee fan right now, if he does come back, do you even want him back at this point? Because you already lost Tobey Awaka to the transfer portal, and you know this might even open up the door for him to even come back to Tennessee. That might even open up the door for him to come back, which would be great, in my opinion. I'd rather roll with Estrella and Awaka than I would Adu.
How does that make you feel as a Walker, though?
What's that?
How would that make you feel? Because we don't know how the conversations went. Were we the ones that asked him to leave?
I mean, I have a pretty good idea of how the conversation went. It's just, you know, that'd be like not making the team and then someone quits. Like, hey, you know, we got a spot for you if you want to come back. And then you're kind of torn. It's like, well, you didn't want me at first, so why do you want me now? So, I mean, that's kind of the conversation that you have to ask. It's like, you know, as a player, it's like, do they want me back because they feel like I can contribute to the team, or do they want me back just to fill a roster spot? And at this point, if you're Tobey Awaka, it's not just to fill a roster spot. I mean, he's going to get minutes at this point because J.P. Estrella is not going to be able to give you, you know, 40 minutes a game.
See, Awaka caused a lot of his minute issue. If he would have not fouled as much, on the floor more.
But he's going to foul because that's
then the you don't want play. Him back. Then you want Adu back. I mean, at least Adu would stay on the floor because he wasn't fouling.
Well, because he was afraid to foul because he didn't have that dog in him.
Okay, but I don't. Then you're just going to have Estrella out there for 30 minutes if you have Awaka out there, you know, and you say he's going to continue to keep fouling. So what good is he really if he's only getting, you know, 8 to 12 minutes a night because he's on the bench for 30 minutes?
He brings you the physicality. That's what he brings. He's not the tallest player in the world, and that's why he gets a lot
of
fouls.
I just don't understand. Obviously, did you have the meeting with Adu first, and then you go to Awaka, or did Awaka come to them? Did Awaka have his meeting first? Because it's like
Adu had the meeting first.
Because I mean, De Leon, you know, is gone. Money's open now. Mm-hmm. DJ Jefferson's probably making nothing, so that's not even a thing. I mean, Connect's money's off the table, right? I mean, you have money to play with to give people more money if that's what you want, but you also have to hit the portal. You know, you have to be able to get guys in with money these days.
Well, and that conversation that we just had proved that these guys should not be called kids anymore because they're not kids. They're making money at this point. They're signing contracts to sign lucrative NIL deals, especially, you know, for a college basketball player who, I mean, we all know for a fact that a few years ago this was all under the table.
Yeah.
Now it's out in the open. Now we know exactly how much they're making. And it's like, why in the world are we paying some of these guys as much money as what we did?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, obviously you need a big. I mean, if both these guys are gone, which it sounds like they are, I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that, then you definitely got to – this portal stuff, especially now, we didn't have this issue last year.
No.
We knew the guys that were coming back and how many we were going to have back, and we could focus on one guy. Like, how's the portal working right now for our coaches? Are they just all over the map, just spread out? Like, you go for Dubar, you go get Lanier. You know, maybe we're talking to Balo, even though he's got visits other way. Like,
It's a mess, dude. Yes. I mean, let's call that like it is. It's a mess right now.
Yeah.
Everything about college basketball is just a damn mess.
And you think it'd be easy with the program we have, the coach we have.
I mean, you finished number 5 in the AP poll.
You have an Elite Eight. Pretty good NIL program.
I'd say it's probably one of the better ones in the country.
You know, so I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. Well, let's go ahead and hear from the listeners. 865-288-3131 is the number, I do believe. That's what it is today on the G.I. Jake Show.
Well, somebody called us.
Phil is up first. What do you say, Philly?
Jake the Snake.
Philly.
Tell them the truth.
Well, I mean, somebody has to. I mean, that's why you listen from 10 to 12, Phil.
Yeah, and it's another wagon bash Kentucky. That's a terrible hire by the Big Blue Nation.
Phil, I don't know if you've seen the comparisons yet, but I put something on social media this morning as to how much he resembles Billy Napier. Like, they might have just hired basketball's version of Billy Napier, both in the look sense and the performance sense. You know, because Billy Napier, he did very well at Louisiana. He did very well. But also, look at the level of job
that
that
think
is.
He would be that bad at Florida? Like after Louisiana, because that's all you can go by right
but
now.
But I didn't think he'd be great. I didn't think he'd set the world on fire or anything. He's not done anything.
Were the level of coaches turning down Florida, though? Like the level of coaches that are turning down Kentucky, where they had to go for Pope?
Well, and the thing is, like a Florida job like that in football, you got to think that's a premier job. That's probably the easiest place to recruit to in the country.
I agree.
They got turned down because no one wanted to go there. They were happy with where they were. It's not like they were turned down by every single coach and they were like, oh no, we only have
one guy chose Jesus and family to stay in Waco. He didn't choose basketball.
That's pretty important reasons to choose. I don't know why you're against that, Brad, but those are important reasons.
I'm just being honest, I guess. He didn't even go visit.
But I'm just saying, like, Kentucky didn't just all of a sudden run out of fish in the barrel and they chose the last one.
They panicked.
Okay, and guess what happens when you make a panic hire, though? You end up like Tennessee football when we had to panic hire Derek Dooley and then panic hire Butch Jones because we got turned down and turned down and turned down and turned down.
As far as we were aware.
And Jeremy Pruitt.
They were turned down by 3 people. Hurley.
Donovan,
and the Waco guy. I never get his name right.
Scott Drew.
You think they reached out to Mark Pope before they reached out to Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates?
Yes, 100%.
Nate Oates was the first one they reached out to.
Well, Nate, from my understanding, Nate Oates was talked about by everybody. Now, I don't know if they actually reached out to him, but he made a comment pretty quickly like, hey, I ain't going anywhere.
Because somebody had reached out to him.
So, fine, we can give him 4 people. You're telling me those are the 4 and then Mark Pope was 5? No, because they definitely did not reach out to
Bruce
Pearl. We don't
know. We're never going to know.
No, you never know exactly.
They didn't reach out to Bruce Pearl.
We don't know.
I was hoping Buck Pearl would get it so I can make a beer at Bryant and W to eat crow. You know,
it would have been interesting to see him. It would have been interesting to see him there, that's for sure.
Would it have been eating crow if we beat him constantly, even at Kentucky?
Well, they got to do anything. I'm talking about Buck Pearl. I'm not talking about eating crow about losing, beating Kentucky.
Well, I would just mean like
we're going to beat Kentucky now for sure. They got
we definitely.
The joke is a coach.
I mean,
although they increased their NIL down there, but doesn't matter. Kentucky's always had NIL advantages over other schools.
Well, Kentucky, I mean, they're about to enter another era of the last of Tubby Smith and the Billy G era.
Well, let me ask you this: like we always said, Calipari is a great recruiter, but couldn't coach. If he's able to recruit a little bit there. You know, get 1 or 2 5 stars, but he's a good coach. I mean, does that make him, you know, more relevant if he's able to coach these guys?
If he's not ugly, he's pretty ugly.
I mean, his 1 year in a major program, he did pretty well at BYU, right?
I mean,
well, I'll tell you who he looks like. He looks like one of the great callers in Knoxville got banned from a radio station, the Cattleman. That's who he looks like.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he got that bald head, looks cool. I mean,
well, he's got
wearing a Miami shirt, you know what?
He's got a he's got more of a buzz cut going on than anything. I mean, he's one of those guys. He doesn't even put a guard on the razor, Phil. I mean, he just takes it down to the scalp.
I think there's a little misinformation about Chaz Lanier on the last show. They're trying to compare it to Yuri Collins. I don't think it has anything like Yuri Collins. I think this guy's going to be a graduate transfer. He's going to complete his schooling, and he's coming here. I mean, that's what I've heard.
It's
gone quiet on him. Isn't he, like, supposedly going to test the NBA draft waters and stuff right now, Lanier? Am I wrong on that?
His name in the NBA, of course, he's not going to – he probably won't be, you know, draft eligible, so he'll go to college.
It seems like he's pretty quiet. I mean, I know, obviously, DeBar's coming in, and now yesterday you hear Kay Tyson's coming in. He'd be the one I think I'd want him more than – I mean, you want both of them, but I think you'd take Tyson over Lanier, right?
I don't think it's the end or Lanier's a shooting guard. Tyson's going to be a three-man.
Yeah, he shot almost 50% from three at Belmont. That's shooting.
And
it,
this
that's
guy
for sure.
At Dunbar is going to be Triple J's replacement.
Yeah.
Now, where Mayshak fits in here, I don't know. Although Mayshak probably get plenty of minutes because he can play the one, two, or the three and still get his minutes.
Well, now you got to start looking. I mean, if Walker and Adu are officially going to be gone, now you got to look at another big somewhere. You can't just roll out Estrella and Phillips next year as your two bigs.
Well, I agree with that, but I say one of them will return, and I think that John Broome's in the portal. Why don't we go after him?
Yeah, I heard that. That was I mean, he's got to be just looking.
What's going on down at Pearl Lamb?
I don't know. Didn't that freshman point guard portal as well,
yep.
Aiden Holloway?
Holloway. I'd take him, too. See, I know what happened down there. Both of their point guards left down there at Auburn.
Did they really? Wow. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. And they're not in the – I don't know if they've pulled any out of the portal either. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I don't even know how long it's going to take for guys to land somewhere.
Well, everybody's doing this. We're trying to get used to this. It's going to happen every year. I mean,
well, I would
you're not going to see
– Yeah. Go ahead.
Unless you're starting and get a good IL, you're going to transfer and go somewhere else and get more money or get more playing time. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, you're here in North Carolina's after Adu pretty hard right now, along with other bigs. They're trying to find a big, and Adu's near the top of their list. I don't understand that at all, but, I mean, they definitely need a big as well. And
yeah. Well, speaking of North Carolina and Cade Tyson, mm-hmm. if R.J. Davis comes back and the swing man that's from Stanford, who went to North Carolina, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. If he comes back, and then they've got two five-star shooting guard and wing forward coming in, where's Kate Tyson going to fit in with that bunch?
I don't know. They'll find a way. I mean, he's going on a visit there next weekend. So I don't know. I mean, and Kansas wants Kate Tyson, too. He's rumored to be going on a visit after North Carolina. So this guy's – everybody wants this Kate Tyson guy. So I don't know. Hopefully we can work some magic and get him in here, keep him in state.
Well, it seems like we all have plenty of money in NIL spending since everybody's left now. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, Connect's money should open up. DeLeon's evidently was second highest on NIL last year. He's gone. You know, if Adu leaves, whatever he was making.
He wasn't worth
what?
I'll say this. He was not worth what we paid.
It's gone now, too, isn't it? I mean, that's money you can put in somebody else.
That's true. And, Phil, I'll be the first to tell you, Jonas Adu was not worth the money that we paid him last year.
Well, Fred DeLone wasn't worth the money. Didn't he have the second highest NIL on their team last year and didn't even play?
Oh, yeah.
Adu was.
Rick Barnes and his coaching staff.
Yeah. I mean, Adu was second team all conference, first team defensive, all defensive team. I mean,
yeah, until
he must have done something right.
Well, here's the thing. He did well against guys that were less dominant than he is. If he went up against somebody that was more dominant or just as dominant as him, I don't know, Janai Broome might have been just as dominant, and that's why it was a battle. But if someone was more dominant than him, he looked like a deer in headlights. Like, he looked scared to be on the floor. You look at the game against Creighton, you look at the game against Purdue, you look at the game against Mississippi State, he was scared.
Well, next year he ought to step right in, be the top center coming back in the conference unless somebody goes out and gets somebody in the portal, because Broome's gone, Tolu Smith's gone, Kentucky's losing all their bigs. You know, like, he would be the top center in the conference coming back, as much as we hate him and think how soft he is. He could be dominant in the conference next year.
No, it's not that we think we know that he's soft. We know that he's soft.
Yeah, we've seen plenty of it, haven't we?
Yeah, we have.
I think he's reached his max here. I really do.
Oh, he.
I mean, if he comes back, be fine, but I think he's reached his max. I think Estrella's got more upside than either Adu or Waka.
Well, that's because Estrella hasn't reached his apex yet. Jonas Adu has reached his apex, and what I mean by that is that we all know that person in life, that we know that their apex is probably going to be, you know, I don't know. What do you think, Brett?
What?
A cashier at Publix, like that's their apex in life? That's the best job they're ever going to have?
I'm going to pump the brakes on Estrella just till I see more of him, though. Like, we know he played with heart, and he's got that, but what does he have skill-wise?
Well, look at the drastic change that we saw throughout the beginning of the season and even at the end of the season to what he did in the NCAA tournament. Because during the season, he was making freshman mistakes, and I think we can all agree with that. But then come tournament time, he was playing like a seasoned veteran in those two games that he played.
Well, really, the keys to Tennessee's team outside of these transfers will be Cameron Carr and J.P. Estrella. Well, hopefully those two guys will make huge leaps next year. I think they both got potential to be all-SEC players.
I like Carr's potential better than Estrella's, I think.
Well, you don't know anything about basketball.
Wow.
Hey,
gotcha. I'm sorry. Have we seen enough from either guy to make that claim? I mean, I feel like I'm not wrong by saying it.
Who knows?
Can I hop in the next segment? Can we hop over back to this Kentucky hair? Because there's still a lot I want to talk about.
Absolutely. That. We'll do that. We'll do that for you, Marcus. Way to keep the show on track. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio. The G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. As much is happening today, like we said, Adu in the portal and declaring for the NBA draft. We got the Masters going on, in which I cashed that bet yesterday, boys. I cashed that bet. Plus 800 Tiger Woods to birdie or better on the first hole. Bang. Still waiting.
Cha-ching.
On. Cha-ching. Making that money, Marcus. Making that money.
I'm proud of you.
I told you to take that bet, bro.
I don't remember what bet you told me to take, but
I think you made the bet before the show. Maybe. I don't know if we talked about it on the show. Did yeah.
We talked about it on the show.
Did we? Okay.
Yeah, that was
my memory fades so fast.
That was one of the special props that we made for yesterday. And, of course, right. Kentucky, whatever you want to say about that, that was just that's disgusting is what that is. That guy's ugly. Let's go back to the phones. Daniel is next. What do you say, Daniel?
Hey, guys. I know that the drive has a list of awesome things that Bear hates. You know, we can start one for Brett. He, you know, it's Jesus and family for him.
And NC State, don't forget the first one that made that list.
You know what else we could do? Right. We could make a list of the ugliest people that Jake hates.
I don't want to do that.
You got the guy from Texas basketball.
You think everyone's
Edie.
Ugly.
Edie, Spencer Rattler, Billy Napier, and now Mark Pope.
Okay, let's just take a victory lap on the Kentucky fan base for a minute. Has there ever been something that has backfired on them so hard in my how? And I was looking at this. I was like, okay, Calipari goes to Arkansas, which, by the way, I hope he wins a high number against Kentucky at Arkansas, because they literally ran a guy out of town for what, like you're saying, Sunbelt Billy down there, I mean, in Florida. They ran that guy out of town for that replacement? That was their contingency plan?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, you look at the two situations with Florida football, Kentucky basketball, I mean, they're pretty similar when you really think about it. Look at what Dan Mullen had done the year before they fired him. He had him in Atlanta. Dan Mullen wasn't running a bad football program. He had a rough year his last year, and they fired him. Goes 6-6. They still make a bowl game. They fire him anyway.
Would it have been like us getting Shiano?
No.
No?
No, it's okay.
That's still one of the worst things that we could have ever done.
They were talking about doing it last night. I thought they were starting it last night at one point, some of the videos coming out of there.
Well, they should have.
But they're to blame. The fan base is to blame for this because they were unhappy with what Calipari was providing them. And, yeah, he was failing in the tournament. But, I mean, and I think everybody would agree that Kentucky, you know, had been underperforming. They won the tournament, the SEC tournament last year. I mean, not this past season, but I mean, it's like they're still competitive. They're still in the tournament. They're still bringing in top five recruiting classes. I mean, that ain't going to happen now. No. I mean, this guy might be a good coach, and it might bode well. You know, they'll have success because that's part of it there. But like, I'll tell you another thing. Did they potentially think that their job is better, is too good? You know what I'm saying? Like, did they oversell it? Because it's clear that I don't even think Scott Drew's better than Calipari. I mean, I think they're basically a wash if you look at it. I mean, they both won one ring at their respective universities there. I mean, Cal has much more success than just at Kentucky, but I mean, Scott Drew wouldn't move the needle. Wouldn't move the needle if I was a Kentucky fan. I mean,
well, he at least won a championship more recently than Cal did. You know, it's we're in a world of basketball now. When you take out the NIL of it all and the transfer portal, when it comes to coaches, it's what have you done for me lately? And yeah, I agree. Right. I think Calipari. I thought they'd give him one more year, and I still think that was probably the best choice for them, because in my mind, Kentucky, and people may disagree with this, but to me, Kentucky's still a top 10 program, like a coaching destination. But I still think, like you said, I think they probably think they're still better than they are. They probably think they're top 5 or top 3. I think they're top 10 now. But what they should, like, here's the real thing. Mark Pope would have crawled through glass for this job. So you're telling me you couldn't wait maybe another week and a half to try like a Bruce Pearl? You know, the fans kept talking about Brad Stevens, like he was going to leave the Celtics, but you couldn't even try that. Like, from my understanding, it was they tried to double Hurley's salary. He said no. Scott Drew, or Drew Scott, whatever his name is, didn't want to get on a plane because his family and God told him no. Nate Oates, if they did offer to him, stood up and said, no, I'm good. I'm happy at Bama. And then you had Billy Donovan that was like, I'm good in the NBA. So that's four guys. You're going to tell me Mark Pope is your fifth option, which, by the way, one of the stats I wanted to bring up, which I'm glad that you brought it back to us here. He literally has zero conference championships, zero NCAA tournament wins. He's only been there twice, and the two times he got knocked out by an 11th seed, including this last season with Duquesne. No Final Four, no championships. I know he won one as a player, but that doesn't matter. I know he was at BYU, and people want to talk about how well he was at Utah State, I think it was, or Utah Valley. And then he goes to BYU and succeeds there. BYU was a decent program. They had 20-plus wins for a while. Some of them got vacated, but they weren't like a bottom-of-the-barrel team. So this doesn't feel like a step up for Kentucky. This feels like a panic move. And if this is your fifth guy you've gone after, man, there's so many other guys you could have tried. Like, it's shocking to me.
Two quick takeaways from what you're talking about. I think NIL has leveled the playing field on multiple instances, and we're seeing it happen here. Hmm. Why would Nate Oates leave Alabama when he made a Final Four run at Alabama? Why would he go to Kentucky when he can do the same thing at Alabama with less expectation?
Yeah.
The Hurley guy at UConn, back to back. Why would he go to Kentucky when he's done it at UConn?
You don't.
Exactly. The NIL has leveled the playing field for all these coaches. I mean, our program wasn't a top 10 program 10 years ago. Now it is. NIL has leveled the playing field, and good coaching, of course, for Barnes. But NIL has leveled the playing field that smaller schools can compete now. And I just think the market has told Kentucky fans what their job is worth, and it's not worth that much any longer.
No, and it used to be worth a lot. I mean, we can call that like it is. That job used to be the job that everybody wanted. And, of course, you had, you know, Rick Pitino leading them to a championship, and then Tubby Smith comes in, wins a championship. I think they have two in the 90s, if I'm not mistaken. You know, that was obviously before I was able to recall a lot of stuff in life. But you look at right now the Kentucky job. That should be a premier job. I mean, let's call that – can we be 100% honest with ourselves? That should be a top five job in college basketball. You got all the resources there, the prestigiousness of the program. You have the alumni support. You have boosters that are willing to pay whatever it takes to make it happen. Now, you're probably going to lose some of that money that some of the NBA players donate. They're probably going to follow Cal out to Arkansas. A lot of those guys are dedicated to a coach, not necessarily a school.
Bingo. You said it right there. I was talking to my cousin yesterday, and we were talking about all this, and I'm going to segue to Tennessee in a second, but that all this is told you with all these decommits and players leaving that they commit to a coach, not a school anymore. And all this has been leveled. And, you know, talking about NIL in Tennessee, we haven't had this problem up until this year of roster turnover. I mean, we're having to turn over our roster, basically. If Meshack leaves, because it's up in the air, with Adu and Awaka, I think Awaka comes back since Adu's in the portal, because it seems like that was the bugaboo. You got three, you know, seniors gone, and the potential of Meshack leaving. I mean, that's a big turnover. That's the first time we've ever had this poaching and a lot of turnover to happen. NIL has changed basketball, and, you know, we haven't to deal with this yet, so I haven't had the biggest problem with NIL as of yet. But, I mean, it's completely changing the fabric of college basketball, and we're going to adapt to it. And looks like our staff is adapting to it by bringing in some high-level transfers. But man, you got to re-recruit your staff and your team all over again. I mean, look at Adu. I mean, the guy was making good NIL money, and he's getting flirted around with, you know, seven figures to some university.
He is not worth that. I mean, he wasn't even worth what we paid him. I mean, let's call that like it is. He was not even worth what we paid him, and now he's going to try to go get $1 million. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's just NIL is complete. It's free agency. I mean, it's definitely free agency. It's because it's like, if this university is going to pay more than what the current university you're at, then you got to go and chase the money if you're not going to play in the league or whatnot. But that's what they do in the NFL. A team is going to outbid for you. I heard another show talking about that. It might have been the morning show, but the market will tell you what you're worth if the school is willing to pay you that. And if they are, like Meshack, if he wants more money than they're willing to go, and that a school out west is going to offer him, he's got to go, because we're not going to pay it because his offensive production doesn't match it. Now, his defense is rock solid. I don't know. There's just a lot with this NIL. And we've not had this discussion, but I mean, it's now changing the fabric of our team and basketball going forward. But so much to talk about, and thank God it's Kentucky. Oh my God, I am so happy with these knuckle dragon mouth breathers up here where we live, Jake. It is just next level. I love it. I'm here for it, and hopefully we can get at least a series win this weekend. We need it against LSU. Be big, and then sign these recruits coming in. Guys, you all have a good day and go Balls.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Daniel. Marcus, you said you had something?
Yeah, well, I was going to say two things.
Sure.
Very quickly on the Mark Pope thing, last thing. He seems like a very corny dude from some of the videos I've seen of him. I hope the press conference, to try to quote-unquote outdo Calipari, maybe he shows up with a pickaxe for the coal miners, you know? Like, maybe he thinks he's one of the blue-collar guys. That'd be fun to see. The main thing I was going to say based on that call, I don't think NIL is the issue. The real issue is how we have our transfer portal set up now. Because I don't think the issue is that these players are getting paid. It's the fact that they can jump to school to school without any kind of repercussion. It's the fact that you can say, hey, I found someone more attractive. Hey, see ya, bye. But then you find out that second person is really toxic, and maybe you shouldn't have been with that person. You're like, boy, I wish I could go back. That's the thing. I think we need to go back to where you, if you're going to transfer, unless it's for a valid reason, you should sit out a year. You should lose a year of your eligibility for transferring. Like, that's the issue. It's not NIL. It's the transfer portal. You can hop school to school. There, DJ Burns, Hatfield, those guys are able to go to school to school to school without having any repercussions, and they can just play basketball. And it's like, no, if you're going to transfer, if you're going to leave, then you need to sit out a year like that, like we used to have. That's the issue.
See, but then we wouldn't have Dalton Connect.
He was a grad transfer.
He was a grad transfer. Oh, like, there are certain, yeah, there's some certain aspects that change that.
So with a grad transfer, if you don't know already, the way that that's set up is if you want to get your master's degree and the school that you're at does not offer the program that you want, that gives you leeway to transfer. Jeremiah Mazzoli was a quarterback at Oregon, I do believe, and then he was able to transfer to Ole Miss for an extra year of eligibility just because of that. Now, he might not have wanted to complete that major by any means, but he just wanted to play football for one more year,
right,
and that's how he was able to do it. Now, one of the things that you have to take in consideration with that, you know, Marcus, you'd mentioned, you know, take it back to the old way. You know, if you transfer, you got to sit 1 year. Well, think about it this way. You know, and Jack, you'll learn this too when you get, you know, out of college and you start taking jobs. You know, some jobs will make you sign, and Marcus, Brett, you've probably seen this, they'll make you sign a non-compete for 1 year or two. And the reason they'll make you sign that is that way you can't just take what you immediately know and then benefit another company with it. And that's why, you know, you have to kind of implement this one-time transfer, like do away with it and implement back the whole you have to sit out of your thing.
Yeah, to me, it comes down
365 days from when you transfer, you should have to sit.
Yeah, even – yeah, and I'm good with that. Because to me, it comes down to if you – the issue becomes that especially young guys, like when, if you hop over to football, they can commit to a school and real and just because they're feeling it in that moment, they don't have to sit there and truly think about it and say, is this the right decision? Will I get the playing time I want? If I don't, am I going to be okay with that? Is this coaching staff really right for me? Like, there's a lot of aspects you have to think about before you just commit to a school. But now, you can commit wherever you want to because you know, hey, if I don't like it, I can just go to Oregon later if I want to. Or, you know, I could hop back home and be able to play for North Carolina easily if I don't like it out here. Like, that's the thing. Like, with the transfer portal being the way it is, you have access for teams to tamper and say, hey, you want a couple extra million? I got you that. Come out here and play for us. Or, hey, you're not happy there. Like, you clearly don't like that coach. He said, come home. Like, you know you want to come home. So there's a lot of aspects with the transfer portal. Like, you should have to use the critical thinking that you've been given and make those decisions because you should know that, hey, I'm about to lose a year of eligibility because I'm making a decision. Is this worth it?
Well, and something else you have to take into account as well is the fact that a lot of these guys aren't making the decisions for themselves.
No.
Their handlers are making the decisions
that
for them.
Family, like, a lot of that happens.
I mean, look at Brandon Huntley Hatfield. The dude's literally, like, Louisville might have been the first school that he stayed at for more than 1 year for the first time since he was, like, in seventh or eighth grade. Like, I'm not even kidding.
None of these basketball transfers even have mattered. Nobody's gone and changed the school. None of them have won national championships because they changed schools. Who's a transfer you can think of that's changed life for that school? Like, Huntley Hatfield changing five schools has done nothing for me. Who cares?
I mean, Dalton Connect did deliver.
You pay for what you want, though, too, right?
Well,
in life, you pay. You want a car? Go pay for it. You want that basketball player? Go pay for it. You know, like, I mean, what are we talking about here?
Well, it's coming down.
College football is completely different with the quarterbacks.
Oh,
so.
God. Could you imagine if we started financing football players?
We have one right now we're financing.
It's just the fact that.
Name's Nico.
It's the fact.
Nico was not here without money and planes.
Wow. You don't know that.
We do know that, Mark.
You don't
Stop it.
You don't know that.
Okay.
Maybe he looked at the Tennessee Orange and thought, this is where I want to be.
I'm saying only the quarterbacks change. The only transfers
like
that change life in college sports are quarterbacks.
I like that shade of orange.
That's
I think
it.
That's going to look good on me. Hey, that Josh Heupel guy, he's pretty cool. I saw him in that Batman costume. He looked really cool in that. My issue is when it comes to – sure, you can make that argument that a transfer player has not made the impact to win a championship. Sure, you can say that, and that's fine. But I will also say that it's now become that college basketball, the same thing that everyone complained about with one and dones is now the same thing with transfer portal. Your team is going to change every single year. You're never going to be able to really develop any kind of true feelings for certain players.
Well, you can't build them.
Look at the two teams in the championship this year. They were all four-year guys that were at the school. There was no transfer. Zach Edey was a four-year player.
Right.
Without the two guys at Connecticut, yeah,
well,
they're
without,
star
without
players.
Zach Edey, Purdue's not making it to the
Final
Four.
Well, I'm just saying, okay, yeah.
So, like, no one cares about, like, that's the thing.
What do you mean
nobody cares? Time out. So, you just made a good point. The fact that the two schools, basically all those guys had been there forever, right?
Yeah.
Are we sure with that with UConn? I want to make sure.
Yes, I know for a fact.
They had a freshman. Like, there's a five-star freshman, Newton or whatever his name was,
okay.
I believe.
But here's what you have to think about is how hard it is to be able to construct that, because there's so much, you know, pressure to go enter the portal and to go chase that bag and to go chase a championship that a lot of these coaches, with the exception of probably UConn and Purdue, they have to build an entire new team every year, because you cannot build a program in the modern landscape of college basketball. You can barely do it in football. But in basketball especially, it's like – pretty much organized rec ball or AAU ball at this point. You have to build a new team every single year and just hope that you can keep what you have. And most of the time, you cannot. I mean, we've seen that time and time again. You can keep a couple of guys. You're not going to keep all of them, but you'll be able to keep a couple. And that's what's, I mean, let's call it like it is. It's ruining college basketball.
We just didn't go through it last year. You know, our roster was set. Like, Vescovy and James left and came back. You didn't have to fight the portal, right? Like, I don't remember, like.
It was just come on.
Yeah, I mean, and we were fine with him leaving.
He sucked.
You know, like.
He was ugly, too.
We pulled in Ledlam, and we
add him
in,
to the list.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say there's three guys that were at previous schools that.
Were they contributors?
Well, I don't know. I didn't pay attention to their main roster.
Okay.
There's a guy from Rutgers, a guy from
right.
Texas A&M,
right.
A guy
all
from
right. East Carolina. All right, let's reset. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
And met her down at Aldane. She said that she saw me walking in about a mile away. Bean just had to take her phone and I just took her smile away. She said I'm too drunk and crazy, she don't like the way I dance. I said you don't have to join, then she said she'd take a chance. I've been kinda crazy ever since they went down. I got kinda lost, and baby, this what I found. Girls like you just wanna take me around, around and around. Oh, there's two things that you're gonna find out. If I was smarter, I'd have stayed my ass at home and leave them Broadway girls alone.
Back here on the G.I. Jake Show, final segment of hour number one, brought to you by the 37 Club. Go to fanrunradio.com/the37club today. Make it happen. $9.99, $16.99, $24.99. That premium membership gets you a free T-shirt every single month. Every single month. Wouldn't that be nice?
Absolutely.
A free T-shirt.
Yeah.
And what you're paying less for than the open market.
That's right. Yeah, for sure.
Open market value or free. You make the decision. FanRunRadio.com/37club. Go sign up today. As we get done talking about basketball for a minute, I feel like we're kind of beating a dead horse here. Tennessee and LSU do battle tonight, 7:30. On ESPNU. This is a series that really got a lot of attention back in 2021. Marcus, are you okay? Why are you up?
My chair is hooked to my headphone somehow.
Anyway, this is a series in which LSU, I mean, we'll call it like it is, has dominated. Granted, this series has been played since 1907 in Tennessee baseball, recently, you know, rising to the top of college baseball. For a course of multiple years, I mean, we'll call it like that, instead of just one-off seasons. I mean, Tennessee trails in series, they have 29 wins overall against LSU and 63 losses. 63 losses. The longest winning streak for Tennessee was six games, that coming from 2021 to 2022. The home record against LSU is 18-20. I look for that to go in Tennessee's favor this year. I like for Tennessee to sweep this weekend.
Wow.
Yes. Because LSU is a team, like we said, you know, they started out number 2 in the country to start the year. All of a sudden, they dropped to 5. Then they dropped to 9. Then they dropped to the 20s. All of a sudden, they're out of the top 25. Tennessee with a, I mean, Brett, we'll call it like it is.
Yeah.
You know, watching this team over the past few weeks,
mm-hmm.
it's been lose on Friday or Saturday, but close out the series strong on Sunday to get the series sweep.
Yeah, Fridays the last 2 weeks especially have been pretty tough, you know, offensively and pitching. I don't feel like our offense has come to life till Saturday and Sundays. Beam's been better. I know this weekend they haven't named a starter even as of yet. I don't know if they've done it yet, but they named Saturday and Sunday for us. Beam and I think Xander Sechrist is the starter Sunday. But tonight is still TBD, which is kind of surprising. But, yeah, LSU is definitely underachieved. I think that ranking was a little high. I mean, obviously they're defending champs. But, yeah, 3-9 in the conference. You still can't overlook them, even with their record. They're still a talented team.
Well, and baseball is a weird sport too, man. I mean,
they're middle of the pack both offensively and pitching-wise, just looking at the stats.
They are.
You should take care of business. I agree with the sweep, at least 2 or 3.
Considering you have lost your last two and lost 4 out of your last 5 against them, you know, like we mentioned last year, you know, that's your defending national champion from last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you get one win on the road last year, 14-7 down in Baton Rouge. You lost the first two games, 2-5 and then 4-6, and then you get beat by them twice in Omaha.
Yeah, they ended your season.
Yeah.
So you want to
– you're out for blood.
Yeah, you are, you know. So, yeah, you know, weather's supposed to be, I think, pretty good all weekend. So,
yeah, and I got offered a ticket to the game, and I've decided to stay away this weekend because my track record with Tennessee baseball games right now in weather is not good. I've had to wear water.
Yeah, you also got – you might get – I know Billy Amick is going to be put on the roster. I don't know if he's necessarily going to play, so that's good news that he's getting closer to being back.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a big-time player, and you've done well while he's been out. And that kind of lets you know maybe you just save him next couple weeks, maybe for May, when May gets here, towards the end of the season, going into tournament play. So
it's going to be May. Sorry, I had to do it.
Y'all see the first pitches for the –
oh, yeah, that was big news, too. Yeah, 3 big-time names.
Kim Caldwell, Todd Helton, and Dalton Connect. That's fire.
Yeah.
That's a lineup.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah, Kim Caldwell tonight, Todd tomorrow, and Sunday you get Connect. Yeah.
Do you also hear that, like, the basketball team was talking about the the championship walk during the spring game? Did you see that? Am I the only one that saw
it? Championship walk?
I think that's what they call that. I think they're, like, during the orange or white walk, you know, the –
Vol walk?
The Vol walk, they're going to do like a champion. Here, I'm going to pull it up because I
didn't know. Do we do a Vol walk on Orange and White game?
Normally we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't been to one in a while.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those deals where they're like dressed in their suits or, you know, dressed
oh,
like
yeah,
this. I mean,
yeah.
They're going to be in pads walking to the stadium.
I mean, is there a band going to lead them down?
Yeah, so.
Who knows?
Headed down Philip Fulmer Way on Saturday, catch the 2023-2024 SC Champions in Saturday's Vol walk.
Pretty cool.
Big question will be. Like, will Awaka be there? Adu?
I wouldn't want him there.
If Mayshak doesn't show up, does that mean that he is in the portal? Like, we should just send, like, one of us down there just to see who all we see.
Jack, you live there. It's your job. Stay with us. Hour number 1 of the books. Hour number 2 of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.